Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. Week late. Damn it. I'm sorry. I got busy. I need to stop with the excuses. I really do. But as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in, downloading, streaming. However you listen, I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, enemy, coworker, your landlord. Tell somebody about my podcast. Help me grow this thing, people. And, yeah. I guess I'll just kick it off as I normally do with my milestone for the week. For those who don't know, I have a six-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to kind of document things that he's doing, not doing, stuff that he's into. And, he's with my parents for the summer, and yeah, so according to my mom, I guess he enjoys going to church, so that's kind of his thing now. He calls it God school. Yeah, he doesn't go to church when he's with us in Virginia. I don't go anymore. That's just a thing I'm not into. But he seems to enjoy it. And I think I mentioned this before. If it's something that he wants to do, just because I have a personal axe to grind with the big guy or woman upstairs, doesn't mean I won't let him go to church. So we got to figure that out. He enjoys it. But there won't be a church like my mom goes to where we live at. So we'll see how it goes. So yeah, he's in church. Also, he really enjoyed his vacation in Orlando. It's got a hell of a tan. He looks like a little Bangladesh kid. Bangladeshi? I don't even know. What do you call people from Bangladesh? He's kind of got that tan going. So, he had a lot of fun. He loved Orlando. He loved SeaWorld. He loved the pool. So, yeah, he's living his life, man. He is having a great time without us, and to be honest, we're enjoying it. But oh shit, a lot has gone on. I can't say a lot, some things. Yeah, doing a lot of shows. I did a show in Annapolis, Maryland. Never been. Had a good time. Had a nice drive with my buddy Winston. It's a very nice town. I just had no idea. I didn't even realize the Naval Academy was there. So when we got there, it was Sunday. It was to commissioning weekend, which is basically graduation weekend for civilians. Well, it's the civilian equivalent. At the end of their graduation, they all get commissioned. That's what I call it, commissioning weekend and not graduation. So there were a ton of people there. The campus was unreal. It's in the old school part of town with the cobblestone roads and the, you know, churches with the big peaks and the, I mean, it's very picturesque. I mean, the lawns are green and that like that brownish red brick just pops with the white, and you got the water in the background. You can see all the boats and it just looked great. It's definitely very Navy looking. And it looks great now in the summer. I can't even imagine how cool that looks in the winter as well. I'm getting old. I'm just like enjoying the views. Jesus. But yeah, that was a fun show. It's a bar show. Of course, the weather's nice. There's a million people down there. It's humid. And we're doing the show upstairs. And again, of course, same day the air conditioning goes out up there, so we're doing the show. It's like 8 million degrees, but I had a good time. And then on the way out, we basically had to fucking hightail it, Winston and I, and beat a serious thunderstorm. They were talking about tornado warnings and shit, and they had a big tornado in Ohio, so that was kind of scary. You know, actually where I used to live in Dayton. And I actually touched down and did a lot of damage. So that was scary, but they had a good time, good show, got in and out. I mean, I'd never left the show so quick. But yeah, life on the road. Got back home. That's Monday. My wife and I went to the African American History Museum in Washington, D.C. And if you haven't been, you gotta go. And there were just so many different people there, man. You had black people, of course. You had white people and their families. I mean, I saw parents just teaching their little white children about all this stuff that went on. I mean, not sugarcoating shit and not getting offended, you know? Some of the quote-unquote patriots of this country, they hate the fact that black history is a thing. You know, us talking about slavery and Jim Crow and the civil rights movement and Black Panther, they get so offended by that, so offended. But they're so quick to talk about how they like to throw out some stats about black people in urban environments, whether it's crime, you know, kids born out of wedlock, the percentages of you know, just black men not present, just any unflattering. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this. This can't only be 6 minutes, but if it is, it is. Oh well, I don't know what happened. Yeah, and oof, and I'll say this, it's gonna be weird. I wasn't a reparations dude before, you know. I was like, you go to that museum, and the way they have it designed is it's a metaphorical, like the slavery stuff is like at the most of the museum is underground, and you go down to the bottom, and that's when they start talking about the slave trade and shit. Like, and I guess it's supposed to represent like being down and in the belly of the slave ship. And as we progress in time, we get closer and closer and we start to achieve and reach freedom. And dude, woo, y'all owe us something. I'm sorry, white people. If you're listening, you gotta come off a little something. This should be free college. Something. It ain't good. And I think you could probably take most pretty right wing people, and if you went in there just open minded and you weren't being a fucking bitch and getting offended, and you went through that display and you read all that shit and you let go of your, oh well, there was a black slave owner, it's just like, okay, no one said this shit was cool because he did it. But I don't think many people would leave there and go, still be like, nah, there's no way that we, no. Every person who goes there will leave like, yeah, they're owed something or we're owed something. So, great museum. Sorry to bring it down. This is a very serious topic. But I'm trying to be transparent here and talk about everything and be honest. And so that was my Memorial Day. And the wife and I don't get to spend much time together and do things. And so we did that. And we had a great time. We got to talk about a lot of different things on the way there and especially on the way back after seeing all that stuff. And man, very powerful museum. If you're ever in D.C., make sure you check it out. But moving on. So that was Monday, and the next day I was supposed to come to New York City. I was supposed to go to New York City and be on the Live Tuesdays with Stories, which was recorded at the Village Underground, a Comedy Cellar satellite club in Manhattan. So I get up Tuesday morning. Got my backpack packed. I was just like, I'm not taking a big old suitcase. I'm only gonna be there for the day. I get into the city about 2 o'clock. Left Charlottesville a little after 7. I get in, I meet my buddy Alex Castang, young kid. He's just 20, got the world by the balls. He's just a happy-go-lucky kid. He likes hanging out with me, which is weird, hanging out with a fucking black dude twice your age. But he meets me in the city. We walk around. We get some ramen, which was dope. And we just see in the city, we get some ice cream, and just we just walk around taking it all in, all the people, all the architecture, the buildings, the parks, just people walking kids and dogs and people running. It's just it's a great town. It's a great city. But it's also a city where you don't really get to relax. Because I was walking around, and it's New York is that weird thing where it's just like, it could be 70 degrees outside, but when you get in the buildings, you get the shade, you need a jacket, then you walk in, the sun hits, now it's too hot for the jacket. And then you get, it's just muggy all the time, but it's kind of cool. It's just, it's confusing. And you go, all right, I'm going to go in this restaurant so I can, one, get something to eat, I can cool off. And then you go into a restaurant and you forget, like, oh, shit, most of these places don't have central air. So you get into a restaurant and it gets still kind of muggy. You try to go to the bathroom. It's always something tiny, weird closet. And you're sweaty. Your ball bag is sweaty. You eat. And this is, I'm always nervous about the bathroom in this fucking city. That's the one thing that bothers me. It's just like, you gotta have a plan. You gotta go know where to go to the bathroom. You gotta know where to go. It's like, I'll eat at a restaurant and just wait to make sure I don't have to go to the bathroom. I feel like a toddler when I come here. So I wait, pee, leave, we walk around, and of course it's like, I gotta piss like a racehorse. Can't find a Starbucks. There's probably 30,000 in this fucking city. Can't find one. Finally gotta go somewhere, buy a water, just to use the bathroom. It's insane. That's one thing I really hate about this, but I get it. I used to think that like those bathrooms you hear about in Europe where you just have to pay to use a public bathroom, they need those here, because I would definitely pay to go to a clean bathroom. So yeah, we're in the city, running around, doing all this shit, and at this point, it's probably around 5:30. And I need somewhere to change, kind of like real quick, and get this funk off me, get the sweat. We take the train all the way to Brooklyn to my buddy's house, and I gotta make sure I'm back in time, so I'll hurry up, shower, we all jump on the train, and I make it to the Village Underground like just in time for them, my like report time. So I get my friends in, they sit down, I go over to the cellar on McDougal Street, I see Mark and Joe, Colin Quinn is sitting there, Amy Schumer is sitting there. I was surprised, Colin Quinn remembered me, Schumer remembered me. I go around, say hey to everybody, shaking hands, which is cool when you can walk into the Comedy Cellar and damn near everybody at the table recognize you. It's a good feeling. So that happened. So we go back over to the Village Underground. People are filing in. There's a photographer there. He's getting pictures of Mark and Joe outside. People are recognizing them as we're going in. And my buddy Steve Rogers is on the show. He's an upstate New York guy. He opens the show. He does well. They bring up Mark and Joe. They go back and forth. And Corinne Fisher is also on the show. She has this podcast called Guys We Fucked. They bring her on. She's doing well, telling stories, you know, talking about dick size and all this type of crazy shit. They call me up there probably about 20 minutes into the show, and we're just ripping and running. We're making fun of each other and telling different stories, you know, sexual experiences, talking about dick size and growing up religious, me in the military. And Ari Shaffir shows up. He comes up, we're talking about, you know, religion stuff, I think dick stuff again. It's just a fun show. They felt like, I know Joe felt like a lot of people didn't know what was going on and they weren't into it, but after a while, they kind of figured it out that this wasn't a regular, just stand-up show, and people, they were on board. It was a fun episode. Afterwards, we all hung out. We went and got tacos, and I came back over here to my buddy's house. Laid down for about 3 hours. Woke up the next morning, got on the train, came back to Charlottesville, and got home. Got a haircut, picked the wife up, went home, packed my clothes, and the next day we drive to Rochester, New York. I'm working with Mark Norman at the Carlson. We're doing 5 shows, 1 Thursday, 2 Friday, and Saturday. Get in nice and early on Thursday. We see Miles. He's super excited. We haven't seen him in about 2 weeks. He's nice and tanned. He looks taller. He looks really happy. You know, he loves being here. He's giving us hugs and grabbing the leg and, you know, just all over us, rubbing his head on my face and, I don't know, like a little puppy. So it was great seeing him. You know, it was my grandmother's 94th birthday. She had cake. She likes Applebee's, so she went to Applebee's for her birthday. But yeah, we had a great weekend. I want to say shout out to Mark Ippolito and Todd Youngman. Thursday show was fun. Had a bunch of friends come out from high school. Family came out. All the shows were great. Just I had fun, man. I'm starting to get a lot more comfortable at that club. I used to feel a lot of pressure going back home to perform, but I'm really starting to just relax and feel comfortable just to kind of like play around and not feel like I just have to kill it every second. I think I've played there enough to where people, they like me enough. And I always want to prove myself, but I think there with Mark and Todd, I think they respect what I do. And it's just a lot easier to work in a relaxed, friendly environment, you know, and you don't feel like you're under the microscope. And I feel free to just, yeah, like I said, just fuck around, have fun, and you know, obviously do the jokes I wrote, but just experiment too. And that's fun, man, when you feel like you got the green light. And yeah, I had a great weekend. Shout out to all the Rochester comics that came out, you know, Sean Day, Todd Girlson, Todd Youngman, obviously, Greg Owen, what's his name, Vacco. That was fun. And we made the right call. The song was, what are we going to do after the show? I don't like going to clubs. It's easier either a diner or just like a quiet little bar where we could just sit and talk comedy. And the call was made. We went back to the hotel that Norman was staying at. It was a kind of a chilly night, but it was they had the porch at the hotel, or patio, sorry, not porch. They had a fire going, they had the big screen TV out there, so everybody got drinks, sitting around the fire, just talking about comedy, what we like, what we don't like, where we see it going, local scenes, the national scenes, the rumors, and you know, we like this guy. Why do people hate this person? You know, PC culture, gender stuff. We talked about so many different things. And that's the fun part of comedy, is to hang afterwards. You get a good group together and y'all just talking about other stuff. And it's like, oh, that's a bit. That's, you know, somebody does that bit. Or you have that serious conversation. That's how you really get to know people, man. People say some outrageous things. It's just fun. That's the best part about doing this. It's man, just hanging with other comics and having shows go well. Like this past weekend in Rochester was one of my most favorite weekends of comedy ever. It was just, every night was just great. I wish my last show went a little better. I had a ton of family there. I had a bunch of friends there. So in between shows, I was doing the thing with them, talking with my friends, and I had a buddy who's a cop. He showed up, he's outside, we're out there talking to him, we're all messing around. I should have gave myself about 10 minutes in between shows just to kind of relax and gather myself, think about what I'm going to do, because I'm still at work. I got one more show, and that's the toughest one, because a lot of weekends, even though you're having fun, you're ready for it to be over and get to the next town or just get back home. But that last show, you almost got to treat it like your first. You got to treat it like every show. You should treat every show like your last show. But it's easy either that Friday or Sunday to Saturday or Sunday night to go, all right, this is, you know, this weekend is done. But I did fine, not as well as I would like to. I just think I had a lot going on in between shows. And I appreciate all my friends coming out. I love talking to people, but I also have to tell myself, like, hey, you still got, you know, one more set to do. So I should have took 10 minutes just to reset myself, focus, and attack that last set like it was that Thursday night. But sorry if this wasn't super, super exciting. I'm trying not to be too loud. I'm at a buddy's house. He lives in an apartment building, and I don't know how far my voice is traveling. But overall, dude, I'll say being able to go up on stage at the Village Underground, the Comedy Cellar stage, was one of the biggest moments of my life. Just hearing my name getting called up, you see that Comedy Cellar logo, you know, stuck to the wall there. I mean, it's a dream come true. It was just like I was 10 years ago at Pounders, a shitty bar in Las Vegas, and here I am, you know, probably 1,400 miles away, 10 years later, at one of the best clubs in the country, and it's where I wanted to be. I just made sure to suck it all in when I was on stage, just to look at, you know, that logo up there, what was going on, who I was on stage with. I'm looking at the crowd. I'm like, this is New York City. This is Manhattan. This is where it all happens. And it was dope. It was a great experience. And hopefully there's more to come as with the Comedy Cellar. I know it's going to be a long, arduous road, especially not living in the city. It's going to be tough. But either way, I'll make it work. But there's a show. That's a show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy. ALAN. Peace.